Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. You know what today is. Today is Tuesday. Today is politics, and we are talking politics for the full show. Thank you for joining me. Just so you know, the chat room is open, so you can definitely log on to the chat room. I would love to see your face in the place, so that way we can identify you and hang out with you. Today, I am talking the economy. Did you hear what's going on with Citibank? And now Sharing Plow and Merck are going into a deal, and they're buying up the competition. So there's a lot of stuff for us to talk about. We definitely got a break from the bad news. Stocks are rallying, but you know, there's just a lot for us to talk about today. So I'm really amped. Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, www.twitter.com/liferemixed, because everything I do is really all about rethinking everything we know to live our best life. That's what it's really about, you know. And Tuesday is our day to rethink the political landscape. My book, Politics Remix, I've got some exciting, exciting stuff coming out with this book. Many of you know LaVon, who listens to the show. She is actually going to work my book through her publishing company, so I'm really excited about that. I'm super excited, because right now the top-selling books are all political books, nonfiction, all have the framework of being centered around in some capacity of our esteemed president, and I wrote this book before he was even elected, so I'm really excited about Politics Remix, so that's a good thing. And also tonight at 10 p.m., I'm sorry, at 9 p.m., I have my weekly coaching call called Life Remixed. So every Tuesday night at 9 p.m., you can just check us out, log on. For more information, please log on to www.politicsremixed.com. impactlifecoaching.info, and you'll get all the information about tonight's call. There is a very small charge, and when I say very small, it is very nominal. So just log on to Impact Life Coaching, and then that way you can see, and tonight is our weekly Tuesday call. So big shout out to everybody that joins me on the call every week. I'm trying to think what else is really important. Oh, I've got some news to share. Dewan won't be able to do our Bible study this week, so we will be doing a replay of one of his past shows. So unfortunately, he will not be with us, but it's all good. We love D. We love him, love him, love him. He has to spend a little time with his family, and he has some things that he has to do for his business, and so it's all good. But we're so excited, and we're always so blessed every time he comes on every single Thursday and does our Bible study. So I'm grateful, and I always say I'm grateful for any time or any opportunity or any moment that he does share with us, because we are so blessed. I have people that listen to the show just because he's on. You know, I guess I kind of thought I was the superstar, but on Thursdays I fall back. But I don't need to have the spotlight, because I've told you all from day one since I started this show, this is definitely not the Saida show. It's really about empowerment. It's really about all of us learning and growing together. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So I wanted to share that with all of you. So on that note, you know what today is. Let's get into politics. It's your girl, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixRadio.com.
This is Dewan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Buggy.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.
Alrighty, we're moving right along, getting into politics today. Big shout out to guests that we have in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. It's good to see you. Oh, there's LaVon. Hi, darling. I was just talking about you in the book Politics Remix. So thank you so much. I see you in the chat room. Big shout out to you. Got to get right into what's going on with the economy. I just was watching CNBC and all the cable news channels. The Dow is rallying because Citibank announced that they have been profitable. Now, I think one thing we have to look at, remember last year, and I believe it started in, I'd say, late August, early September, and I was doing a daily monitor of banks that were falling, what was happening, and who was buying who. Well, right now, we had a triple-digit increase in the Dow Jones because of an announcement that Citibank made. And what's really interesting about this is what it speaks to the fear or the lack of fear that people have when it comes to market. I keep hearing consumer confidence, consumer confidence, consumer confidence. Well, I look around my town and stores are closing. I drive around through other cities and stores are closing. There's empty storefronts. Unemployment is at an all-time high. These are real. These are pragmatic principles. These are things that we can't blow off because of consumer confidence. It's very real that people are getting laid off. It's very real that unemployment is on the rise. But basically, I look at it as a situation of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Because what happens is fear, people are fearful, so then they hold back money, which means stores now have to come back, and it becomes kind of like a vicious cycle. And that's why a lot of the Republicans and many Democrats were starting to come down on our president, because he was saying, listen, we got a tough hill to climb. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be some challenges, and this is what it is. And they got pissed about it. They're like, yo, why is he coming out saying all of these things and stressing these dire circumstances? I'm happy that he did, because I think he's being honest, and that's something that we have not had in the White House for many, many years. But what happens is it erodes people's confidence in the ability of our government to do what the government is supposed to do. And that's why everybody starts talking, and media people and companies that start sending out these press releases and these blurbs, because they know that if people think things are going well, then it automatically means they're going to do well. Kind of like that perception is reality thing that you've heard about. And this morning, what happened with our Dow Jones this morning definitely embodies that sentiment, because right now, as of an hour and 10 minutes ago, which is 11 a.m., the Dow Jones is rallying because of an announcement from Citibank, from Citigroup, excuse me. I want to make sure I get my facts straight. I'm just going to read a blurb about with Citigroup's announcement, and then we'll talk about it right on the other side. But before I do, just want to give a big shout out to Mike Henderson. Thank you so much for joining me in the chat room today. It's a pleasure to see you, and I hope you you enjoy the show today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's just jump right into this. Citigroup has been operating at a profit through the first 2 months of this year, according to a letter that the embattled bank's chief executive sent to employees. In the letter sent yesterday, CEO Vikram Pandit said the first quarter performance so far has been the bank's best since the last time it recorded net income for a full quarter, and that was in the July-September period in 2007. Based on historical revenue and expense rates, Citi's projected earnings before tax and one-time charges should be about $8.3 billion for the full quarter. The one-time items include, and listen to this, credit losses, write-downs, in addition to loan loss reserves. Pandit did not disclose the size of those items, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. Its shares rose 25 cents or 24% to $1.30 in morning trading. They are down about 80% since the beginning of the year, which I'm going to address that in a minute. I don't understand how they can be doing so well, but their stock is down 80% in 2 months. But we'll get on that in a minute. Citi has been among the hardest hit banks by the ongoing credit crisis and recession. It has been forced to take tens of billions of dollars in write-downs and loan losses since late in 2007, and the value of its investments plummet and more customers fall behind on repaying loans. The New York-based bank has posted 5 consecutive quarterly losses, including a fourth quarter loss of $8.29 billion. During January and February, operating revenue was $19 billion, just $2 billion shy of the full quarter average during 2008. The letter was written to reassure employees as Citi's stock has taken a beating in recent weeks, and it has embarked on a plan that will increase the government's stake in the bank. I'm going to stop right here. I'm putting this piece in the chat room right now so you all can see it. Okay, I just posted it in the chat room. I can't even get through this whole piece. It's not that long, and I was actually halfway through it, but I need to comment on a couple things. And this is why this whole banking, credit crisis, housing fiasco is nothing but smoke and mirrors. Because now Citibank made an announcement. Let's follow this from a very rudimentary first grade look at this. They made an announcement and that they're operating at a profit through February. Now, my understanding of a profit is that you actually made money. You spent money to make it, and now, at the end of the day, you have more than you started with. So let's look at this from a very first grade level. But in everything that I just read to you, all of the substantiating words, letters, commas, periods, and paragraphs indicate a picture contrary to the headline. They're saying its shares rose 25 cents, which is good, to $1.30, because that means it was only at $1.05, but it's down 80% since the beginning of the year. So I don't understand how that's like you start out with $100 on Saturday morning and you come home at Saturday night and you have 75 cents in your pocket and you're saying, hey, listen, you know, I still have 75 cents in my pocket, but it's like, wait a minute, but you started with $100 this morning. And I think we have to really look at it this way and not get caught up in the smoke and mirrors that they're really kicking, because how in the world are we supposed to rally and start investing and start pouring our money back into the stock market, because it's still down 80%. No matter how you look at it, it's still down 80%. And I find it very shocking that now Republicans are calling for the banks to fail. I have said on the record and I have said on this show starting back in late August when I said pull your money out of the banks, I said let these companies fail. And I came under such fire. You all know my production assistant is from Detroit. And she said, Saida, these companies are too big to fail. We can't let them fail. This is people's jobs. And I said, we live in a capitalistic society. Capitalism must survive. I'm a big believer in capitalism. In order for capitalism to survive and thrive, you have to have sometimes the breakdown and rebuilding of businesses. Now, we want to lessen the blow as much as possible, and I believe we should have given government aid to help, but not to bail out. And language is very important when discussing these issues, because now what is happening is we're pouring money in and they're like, oh, wait, my bad, that wasn't enough. And they go back for more and they're like, chill, you know what, that wasn't enough either. We need just can you spot me a little bit more? And what's happening is there's this perpetual loan going on. And so now everyone's against socialization where the government owns the banks. But basically it says right here in the link that I just put in the chat room, where is it, about the government owning. Hold on one sec. Right here. The letter was written to reassure employees as Citi's stock has taken a beating in recent weeks and as it has embarked on a plan that will increase the government's stake in the bank. I don't know about you, but I didn't know the government is now getting that heavily involved with private institutions. Now all of a sudden the government is bailing them out and they're taking ownership. Well, if the government is taking ownership, then they need to take ownership and own it and put these things in check. The problem is the people within the banking industry have created so many little intricacies that the people in government are not bankers. People in government are servants of people. They shape policy. They shape budgets for societies and communities. They are not bankers experienced with derivatives and all of the things that go along, all of the intricacies that go along with banking and finance. Now, we do have a banking and finance committee within our government in Washington, but that is just a small group of people. That is very different of having banking oversight over these banks versus the government coming in and owning our banks. I don't know about you, but I don't want my senator having a say in what's going on with private institutions. And I feel they should have let the banks fall. I really do. I think they should have let the banks fall, let Detroit fall, let them fall, and then let's rebuild. Because think about it this way. I had a conversation with someone, and this is what I said. If you give every American who has paid taxes for the last 3 years $50,000, we wouldn't have any more problems. I don't think. Because what happens is not even $50,000, even $25,000, but it has to be something substantial. $400 is not going to help me, my husband, my kids do anything but maybe pay a bill that's late or pay a bill that's past due or buy groceries for next week and put some gas in our car. $400 is not material in amount enough to make that much of a difference within my household. But if you give every person or married couple, you know, maybe singles $40,000, married couple $75,000, however you want to do it, that pay taxes, you have to, I only say for taxpayers, people that have paid taxes or filed a return within the last 3 years, give them 50 grand. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to catch up on their bills. They're going to go out to eat. They're going to start doing repairs. And that whole trickle-down theory that started back with Reaganomics, where you tax, you offer the rich tax cuts and have it trickle down to the lowest at the bottom rung, those are the people that they felt were going to help. No, let's have it flow up. Give me 25 grand. I promise you I'm buying a new computer. I'm buying some office furniture. I'm buying, I'm buying some groceries. I may take my children skiing. I may lease a car. So now just by you giving me this money, my comfort level is there. My comfort level is there for me to spend money. And if, in fact, I'm able to now spend money, all of the other industries are now eating and they're now thriving. But to give the money to the bank and the banks were supposed to loan, that to me seems stupid, because now what's going to happen is they're loaning money to keep us in debt. And the banks screwed them, because what the banks did was they took that money, all that bridge money and TARP funds, and they hoarded it. And I believe President Barack Obama needs to really, him or his people, get a spine and mandate that these banks open the books. Because the article that I just posted, you see how shady they are. You see how shady they are. Their headline doesn't even match the story. They are total opposites. The headline of the story is saying one thing, but the entire story is saying Citibank is still broke with no money. But the headline is saying Citibank reported a profit compared to what? It's bizarre the way all of this deregulation has allowed us to fall into this conundrum. And I think continuously giving the banks the money without them opening their books is stupid, ludicrous, and just total dumb. Think about when you, and when any of us wanted to buy a house. Oh, wait, let me read what's in the chat room. You know, this is hilarious. A big shout out to Dropping C Radio. Hi, Pastor. He says he's listening but unable to chat today. It's all good, Pastor. I'm happy you're with me. Mike Henderson is too funny. He put in the chat room. Yo, this is hilarious. Give me 50. He says, I'm with you on that one. Give me 50,000 and watch me stimulate the economy. Exactly. Exactly. My kids are angry with me because when they ask for money, I'm giving them like $2. If they get it, $2 or $3. I used to give my kids, he has 20, you know, go ahead. My son, you know, the little sarcastic character he is, he says, oh, I forgot. And then he holds up his fingers as if to make quotation marks. We're in a recession. And I say, yes, sweetheart, we are in a recession. Mommy can't just give, give, give. You know, I told you guys all that September, when we went shopping for school, I was like, we're going to get one pair of sneakers, buddy. There is no two and three pair like we used to. He's like, what's going on? He was like, this is not fair. This is not right. But I believe when we look at it, it amazes me that we all have practical solutions, because we're the ones that's in the trenches. We're the ones that can be able to better position. I just don't understand why you're going to give banks billions of dollars that my great-grandkids are going to have to repay. And really, I'm going to tell you what's really happening, because you all know that I love politics so much and I just follow politics. But if you really look, the banks are in such a bad situation. Like, you know how you might bounce a check and now your bank account, I think they charge like $30, and then you may have your bounce check fee, and then you still have the amount you owe for that check. So now you're a little negative. Just multiply that by like a gajillion, and I believe that's what the bank's books look like, because I think in my gut that's why they have not mandated the banks to open up their books. Because if the banks were forced to open their books, we would be so shocked at what we find, this country, I don't believe, would ever be able to recover. I think the banks are in so much debt, their balance sheets have been so skewed, and they're so off point that if we really knew what was going on, I believe the country, our government, and our economy would collapse. Hey, True, good morning. Mike said, to the mall I go, baby. You are too funny. I like having you on the show. You got to stick around. I dig you, Mike. You're funny. But it's all good. Let me finish reading this, because we're down to the last couple minutes of the show. Yes, it's only 30 minutes, everybody. It's only going to be 30 minutes. But I mentioned that at the top of the show. I did. And I did mention Thursday's show with DeJuan that's going to change up a little bit. But I'll send all my listeners an email, as I always do. Mike, if you get a chance, shoot me an email, sb@cybrown.com. sb@cybrown.com. That way you can shoot me an email and I'll add you to the list. Yeah, True. Just imagine how many people bounce checks daily times $35, which is profit for the bank. Do you know I bought something online for $3.95? And I had a check come in. So the check came in, but the $3.95, it overdrew my account, and they charged me $30. I'm like, yo, when I made the authorization, the money was there. For $3.95, I was sick to my stomach. And then they bounced the check, too. But see, I have a relationship. They paid the check, but now I have got stuck with $260 fees. $230 fees. You talk about somebody who was sick about that. I was really, really upset about that. But let me finish this piece because I don't want to run out of time. Let me just scroll to the bottom. This speaks to exactly what I've been talking about for the last couple minutes. The stock conversion by the government and private investors is aimed at stabilizing and strengthening key capital ratios for the bank. Do you see how there's no transparency there? All of these shenanigans that are going on, it's aimed at stabilizing and strengthening the economy, no matter what the cost, no matter what the expense. Whether it's right or wrong. You know how you tell people do what's right no matter what? They're not doing what's right. In this letter, Pandit said Citi has run its own stress test for the bank at levels worse than those being used by the government. He said he is confident in the bank's capital position based on those tests, which we know is not true, because if you were properly capitalized and funded, you would not need TARP funds. Citi is also pursuing a plan to split its operations, separating the traditional banking business from the riskier operations that have been the primary driver of losses in recent years. And that speaks exactly to what Drew said. The banking piece of it is making money. The banking piece is making money, but that whole mortgage piece and selling mortgages, and I found a letter on the internet, and I posted it on Twitter that said if you're facing foreclosure and you have to go to court, demand that they produce the original loan agreement because that may buy you time. Technically, you have to present the original loan agreement, or you can mandate that they present the original loan agreement, and because these mortgages have been sold and resold so many times, their chances are they don't even know where the original loan agreement is, so that may buy you more time. So I did put that out on Twitter. So, yes, demand that they produce the original loan agreement. Just to let everybody know, yes, today is a 30-minute show. I'm so happy that everybody joined me. You can still listen to it through iTunes and through my blog and through the Life Remix Radio website, which is separate and apart from BTR. But I'm just a little bit busy, guys, which is good. God is good. God is blessing me immensely. And I just have to be obedient and do what I'm supposed to be doing. So big shout-out to everybody who join me today. I just want to share tomorrow. I've got Terry Stevens from the from Project Runway. She was going to join us last Wednesday, and there was a conflict in her schedule. So she will be joining us tomorrow. So all of you Project Runway fans, I'll be blogging about it, her appearance on the show. I'm excited to interview her because I actually did watch Project Runway. Oh, thank you, True. He says there's 3 minutes left. Okay, let me just say our closing prayer. Remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Thank you, True, for your words of encouragement, as you always do. You just know I'm just being obedient to what the Lord tells me to do. So thank you very, very much. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you all tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. It's your girl, Cy Brown, for LifeRemixRadio.com. And today we talk politics for the full show.
As we proceed to give you what you need,
this is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.